And it's Steve Tasker who has been all over the field.
Kind of unique. He was kind of a dual role player for you.
Steve.
A balloon.
Steve. A blimp. We're not even in the stratosphere of normalcy. Oh, we're one day away from the 2022 NFL schedule. Steve and I are talking about this before we come on the air. Do you realize we have been talking all week about the regular season schedule? What the heck are we doing?
What are we on?
Where are our priorities in life?
Right where they should be for you and me. Let me just say that.
Yeah, for us, probably. We're sick in the head.
Yeah.
And we'll be talking more about the schedule today, as we'll get into in just a bit.
Before we get in, I told you today's the day.
Today is the day.
Yeah. After much walking around, checking it out, and making sure it was okay, I'm going to get to actually mow my lawn today.
Yes. You,
water.
I would venture to guess.
Water management's an issue.
In the eight counties of Western New York, you might be the last person in the eight counties to mow their lawn for the first time this season.
It technically can still be.
You really pushed the envelope.
Yeah, I did. I will admit, but I had no choice. I was too wet. It can only technically now today still be called a lawn. Tomorrow it turns into a hay field because I'm pretty sure some of it's going to seed too much, and I gotta hack it off. I'm gonna have to mow it. I gotta cut mine twice. I think before it's actually gonna be able to.
But I'm saying I've made two cuts already this season.
I'm going to set my lawnmower like 3.5 inches today and then maybe mow it again before the weekend again.
They tell you don't cut it too short.
Well, yeah, I get that.
You ruin your root growth,
I guess. Plus, you know what happens, too? So they said if you mow it higher, if you can stand to mow it higher, it cuts the shade and the little weeds that come out can't grow in the shade.
It doesn't promote weed growth.
Yeah, it doesn't promote weed growth. Yeah. So
that is legit.
But I got to do it today, and it's – yeah. Mike. It has been an absolute mud hole.
Usually
it's kind
get
of,
that at the end of
it's
the
that season. It's that season where it's wipe the dog's feet when it comes in mode, you know? So Vern has like been in the
Really? So the last couple of days of sun haven't.
Oh, it's. Yeah.
It's
I could have done
now.
It. I could have done it. Maybe. But there, I'm
Because it's
still,
been dry for the last
today,
4 or 5 days.
Because I got a lawn the size of a.
Yeah, and you weren't in town last
right,
weekend.
So,
and,
There's still going to be a couple of spots. I'm going to have to avoid. I'm going to have to leave. But
now, do you walk over there and hit it with the weed whacker? What do you do, or you just leave it for when it's dry?
If I have to walk, I'm. Come on.
I mean, I know it is the Tasker compound.
It's me.
It is an expanse of rolling terrain.
That thing.
So it might be a far walk to the back regions of your yard.
I do weed whack, but I weed whack twice for the entire summer, and that's only
twice.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah. I don't weed whack very often. And listen, if I go out there and I have a brand new weed whacker, if I go out there and that thing won't start, I'm gonna get another new weed whacker.
Yeah. So I'm the type of person that likes to maintain my stuff as best as I can. Like,
oh yeah,
if the recommendations in the manual say, you know, change the fuel filter on your lawn tractor after every season, I do it. If it says, preventative maintenance, I'm big on that.
In February or March, I'm on the phone, and I have a company that comes out and looks at the thing and does it. They show up at the house, and I pull it out, and I park it out there where they can find it. They go in, they beep-bitty-bop-bitty-boop, they
like,
fix me
I even
up.
Bring my lawn tractor battery in the house in the winter. So it's not sitting out there in the cold.
You're a goner.
So it lasts.
You are
long.
An absolute goner.
Nah.
Come
on. I wouldn't call myself meticulous, but I do try to keep track of those
You're
kinds.
Bringing the.
Yeah, because otherwise I go out there in April, try to fire it up, and I got nothing.
You're a goner.
So
I don't do that.
So here's the best part.
I don't do that.
So my battery was officially done. It was like 5-6 years old.
I get it.
And that's usually it's the time. Life of a lawnmower battery. And so I said, all right, I'm going to have to get a new one, you know, for the season. I go out and get a new battery. And, you know, I'm all ready to roll. I come back from vacation when I was out in April. Going to cut my lawn. We're all ready to go. I bought the battery before I went on vacation, so I wouldn't have, you know what I mean?
So you could. Oh, it still won't go.
Brand new battery.
Something's wrong.
It doesn't have a charge. So I jump it with my car, cut my grass. I'm like, all right, you know, takes me like 45 minutes to cut front and back. That'll be enough of a charge. So next week, it's a brand new battery. It'll hold the charge. It'll be good to go next week, right. And I don't have to worry about it the rest of the season. Go out there the next week.
See,
I had to bring it back. And the guy did, you know, he did the diagnostic thing with the, and he goes, oh, yeah, this is a low charge for a new battery. This isn't good. I said, okay, now, can you give me a new one?
Right.
And he gave me a new one, you know, but, I'm fine now, but it's just like you do all that preventative maintenance and you get handed that deck of cards.
But for something, from, you know, sometimes I think, like I got a riding lawn, one, I have two riding lawnmowers. One is.
Two?
Well, one is the one I use and the other one is one that's before I got the new one.
Oh, it's your backup.
And.
You have a backup lawn. How much shed space do you have?
Well, I got enough for that. I'm ready to get rid of the old one, though. It needs to go, and I can't find a way to get rid of it. I'm talking to the company. I said, hey, will you trade me something, like give me a credit for this mower? You can use it for the thing. It's older than all of my kids.
Oh, wow.
Right, so it's really
old. And you're telling me I'm a goner.
Well, yes.
You're holding on to
it. But I used it. It worked. I mean, it's like.
That thing's from the 90s.
It's a John. No. It's from the 80s.
Oh!
It's a John Deere, and the thing never quit.
You can't call
it's
me
too
a goner.
Stupid to stop running. So I finally got, and now it is kind of on its last leg. But I'm telling the, if you can use it for scrap or whatever, you can take it. Give me whatever credit you can, and I'm still waiting to hear from them. Maybe they want it, but you know, I can't get that thing to start. So it's, you know,
yes. Now here's the other thing that
I feel
done.
Your pain for that.
So I've had my lawn tractor since 06, and it still runs well.
Since you were six?
No, since 2006.
Oh, 06. You talk about me. All right.
Since
you've had
2006.
It for 15 years.
Yeah. But 16. All of my other stuff, which when I bought it around the same time,
right,
it's all gas powered. And as well as I've taken care of a lot of those things, in the last 2 years, they've started to go on me. Lost my gas powered weed whacker last year, replaced it with an electric, battery powered. And then this year, my leaf blower, which I use, you know, after I edge the edge of the lawn, you know, you got the little grass clippings there, I bring out my blower and I just blow it onto the lawn. You know?
Right, yeah, I got you.
That went on me this year. Got another battery powered one. So I am like, so here's the best part.
I won't do it.
You're not going to do that. You're gas till you die.
I may do electric, but if I'm doing electric, it's going to be plugged in.
I think you'd be pleasantly surprised with the power these things kick.
That's fine.
Got a 40-volt battery
on
these suckers.
I walk out there, and it's like, oh, I forgot to put the battery on the charger. Now I got to wait a day,
but here's
day.
The thing.
See, that ain't happening.
I have two 40-volt batteries.
Can you
take the good one, pop it on, and then I charge the other one while I'm doing my stuff. And then by the time I get back, that one's charged. I pop that off, leave it for next week, put the used one on there. Yeah. You just repeat the cycle.
I'm telling you,
the battery power devices, they've been a godsend for me. Here's why. I don't smell like gasoline when I'm done.
I get that.
I mean, usually you shower after you do yard work anyway. But
I'm an old guy. It's the same old thing. It's the power that they have when you turn it on fully charged. And then it's making sure you got a charged battery when you get out there. And I get it. You get a spare one. But then you put the one on the charger. Then what? You leave it for 6 weeks and you come back and it'll do it. And it's ruined because you've left it on the charger.
Well, yeah. Well, that.
See, yeah.
You're not responsible enough to take it off?
No. Not even close.
How the heck is that any different?
Because
from being responsible enough to have gas,
if I got
to fill up the tank,
at least if I go, I can put the tank, run 5 seconds away, fill it with gas, come back, and I got gas. You put it in, I got to wait overnight or 5 hours for the thing to charge.
I don't have to wait that long, but
and then
like
I'm
30 minutes tops if it's completely dead.
20-30 minutes for a
battery.
That's
why you have the spare battery. You put that one on. You use the one that's good. Off you go.
I don't buy it.
And you smell a lot nicer when you're done.
I don't buy it. See, that's the thing. I want
when you're ready.
When I'm ready, I want that thing ready, and I want it fully charged and ready to go. And then
when you're ready to go battery powered, I'm happy to help.
Like seriously, I'm going
to
set an alarm to go back out and take the thing off. And then when I take it off the charger, then it's another 6 weeks before I use the thing again.
Why
I go back out there. Now
weeks?
It's dead again.
Why is it 6 weeks? No, it'll hold the charge in the summertime, especially.
Come on.
I gotta convert you.
I don't believe it.
You can.
I know that the battery.
They've really gotten a lot
gotten
better.
Yeah, I get all that.
And the power is the most impressive thing. I got a battery powered chainsaw. Now I'm not cutting down giant trees. I'm doing light, branch work.
No,
here.
I need.
So
no,
with a battery powered chainsaw, I'm okay because I don't have a yard with 150-year-old
trees.
I got
a tree that just went down.
You're in an older neighborhood than me.
And you couldn't get your arms two-thirds of the way around it. And it snapped off with the wind, right? So I had to go out there and start chipping away on that. And I needed some beef. So I got one of those. I've got a gas-powered chainsaw, which
is... If you're doing heavy work, I get it. But, I mean, I'm not chopping down anything that's more than 2 or 3 inches.
By 2035, everything's going to be electric. Everything's
so you may as
electric.
Well start getting ready.
Yeah. Well, kicking and screaming.
The moment one of your lawn tools, power lawn tools, dies, you and I will go to the store and we'll set you up with something nice that's battery powered. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. You'll be pleasantly surprised. Best of luck today with your knee-deep lawn.
Yeah.
Is it knee-deep or just ankle shin-deep?
No, it's above your ankles. It's not shin. So I don't know. Shin deep. In some spots, you've got some. I've got some.
Yeah, you're gonna
little
have to
stray stuff that's like shin high.
You're gonna
least.
Have to cut that. Twice.
Not knee high yet, but it's way above shin high.
I think you're right. You're gonna have to cut that twice.
Yeah, I'm gonna. I'm on that program, but it is. Yeah.
As we mentioned, we will be discussing NFL 2022 schedule with you. And we'll get into the Twitter conversation in just a second. But the Tom Brady stuff, Steve, continues to morph and change. People can't get enough of it. I almost threw up this morning. I was listening to the radio on my way into work. Or no, this was when I first got up. And it was the overnight radio show, the national show that WGR runs. And the guy loves the appointment of Tom Brady as the number one broadcast team guy for Fox Sports going forward for football. Now, he's obviously still playing, but already people are debating, well, if the Bucs are out of the playoffs, will he do the Super Bowl? Because Fox has a Super Bowl this year.
He'll be on the broadcast, yeah. He won't
right?
He won't be in the booth.
If you're willing to pay the guy $37.5 million a year.
He won't be in the booth.
Yeah, but that's a big lift for a first.
He'll be in the pregame run-up. He'll be in the program, the pregame. You know how there's like nine hours of pregame stuff? He'll be in. There's absolutely no doubt. Absolutely no doubt. Now, he won't be in the booth because they're going to have a
guy. You
don't
think so?
No, because they'll have to make that call. They'll want to make that call a couple of weeks
what
before.
What if they do some training runs with him and he's a natural? I think they drop him in the seat.
Instead of?
It's Tom freaking Brady, as much as I hate to say it.
Who's the other guy? Instead of?
Well, they already said he's like the number one guy. So
right.
I don't know.
He's not now. Oh, who is it now? Tom.
It's the Greg Olsen, the tight end.
Or is it? It's not going to be Troy Aikman?
No, he's working for ESPN now.
Oh.
He jumped ship
right.
with Joe
and it's
Buck.
It's not Joe Buck and Tom. Who's the other guy?
So it's Kevin Burkhardt, who's the number one play-by-play guy for Fox Sports, and it's Greg Olsen. Super Bowl, if he shows well in training, is it Greg Olsen or is it Tom Brady, Steve?
It's Tom Brady.
Yes. Yes.
Greg Olsen. He's not even that good on their pregame show, in my opinion. I like the guy. He's a good dude, but he's Greg Olsen?
I'm just saying, if you're weighing Greg Olsen and Tom Brady on just about any scale, grossly tipped.
It's Kevin Burkhardt, too. I mean,
in favor of Brady.
Kevin Burkhardt. That may be like Brad Johnson winning a Super Bowl.
The only positive. The only positive with this whole thing, Steve, is it may get him off the field a little bit faster. Like, this may actually be his last year playing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean,
until
true.
Some crazy team tries to pull him out of the booth and pay him more than that.
What if he takes that as a guy? He's the only guy ever to come off the playing field, do a Super Bowl, and then go back and play in the Super Bowl.
Jason Witten did a year of broadcasting, came back and played. He didn't play in the Super Bowl, but you know what I mean?
He did that. He might say, I'm going to retire and do it like this year. You know what? The thing was good. I'm going to go back and play one more year. He could do it. He could do it. Yeah.
Speaking of quarterbacks playing in the state of Florida, did you see the Tua highlight reel, Steve, from last night on Twitter?
Yeah, I did. I don't think
the Dolphins put out a tweet from their off-season conditioning program.
Even right out of – usually it takes
me a little
while.
And they've got a tight shot of Tua rearing back in a bucket hat, no less, and chucking it deep to who else but Tyreek Hill.
Who's got dreads, by the way.
The only problem is Tyreek had to come back to the football. Now, look, I'll be the first to tell you, if you wanted to give me one receiver who probably
could outrun his arm,
can outrun a quarterback's arm or can't be overthrown, a lot of people would say Tyreek Hill. Steve, I'm telling you right now, if you showed the back half of that play and only saw Tyreek catching the ball, you might be convinced it was a punt return if he didn't run the opposite direction. Come on, watch him catch this ball, and you tell me he's not coming back to this thing. He is waiting on it.
He had to stop, and then, that was...
And his enthusiasm is certainly not through the roof after catching it. He's probably thinking to himself, man, did I make the right call here, $30 million instead of playing with Patrick Mahomes? Well, what's running through his head right here?
Right there, he's like...
I'm going to have to do a lot of running after the catch here.
I'm going to have to really shift gears as soon as I catch this.
You have to gear down and gear back up again.
Usually on these things, I watch and it's like, okay. Then immediately.
This is against air. There's no defense.
Immediately upon. And here's the thing. To a little play action, one hitch, boom, lets it fly, and he can't get it there.
Nope. Against air. No line. So this is him stepping into this with every fiber of his being. And he can't get it there.
It's not a good look. It's not like the smooth, fast motion, the guy runs out of the screen and it happens so fast and it's such a long that this is like he throws it and then they got to snap it to slow motion. Yeah,
this thing's fluttering too.
Right? It's like it looks like a punt that way.
Ka-ka!
I mean, who's in charge of their social media account?
Someone that doesn't know that this is probably not a ringing endorsement of Tua. I understand the impetus behind the post.
You're trying to
get people excited about Tua throwing a Tyreek, but man,
you're right about the Tyreek,
this is not the one I'd be picking.
The Tyreek body language is only...
He's just like,
okay, here we go.
Did I make the right call? Yeah. All right, let me make this look good. I'll put my finger in the air and...
He is
act like I'm pumped, but
and I get it.
God,
they're just out there
Patrick
fooling
already.
Around. I mean, but it is like OTAs, right? I mean, they're out there.
It is. They can start earlier because they have a new head coach. So yes.
Yeah, this was
but
making the
man
rounds
alive.
Last night. I was like, wow.
The comments after were pretty good.
Crushing him.
Oh,
crushing him.
Yeah, I think this is video evidence that Mike McDaniel is going to be calling an awful lot of 5-yard slants for Tyreek.
It's not quite.
And then it's, hey, Tyreek, it's on you to get the rest, buddy.
It's not going to be like Ben Roethlisberger bad like last year, but it's going to be. Yeah.
Come on. That was a 38-year-old whose arm had died and had elbow surgery on his throwing arm.
Right.
This is a 25-year-old quarterback.
It looked
who
bad.
Hasn't had
it looked bad.
An upper body injury.
I mean,
to
what
speak
are they
of.
Doing there? I mean, what is the. You can't have maybe that's the only thing they allowed him to show. Say, like, show that. Thinking that's the, you
that's
know what I mean?
The best of what we've got
well,
to
maybe
pick
not
from?
The best, but that's the only thing. The other stuff had, like, play action or whatever on it. They didn't want to show any because coaches are really sensitive to that. They ichne everything that you're going to put out, and they get a look at everything you put out. And if it's not what they – if they want to – like, if you're showing a shovel pass or something like that, like the old days, you're – they don't let you show it. Sean McDermott does that. I mean, these guys do it too.
Yeah.
Like, you can't show this end of the field while we're working on stuff, you know?
The best comment on this came from Andrew Perloff, who is one of the control room guys for the Dan Patrick Show. He tweets, "Can scientists drop everything and figure out how far this pass actually went? Basing my 2022 Dolphins win total on the result."
Then there's an
oh my gosh,
the comments are unbelievable. They had one guy that commented, "Here's a schedule leak of the Dolphins, and it had loss 17 times."
Oh.
On the, that was their schedule leak. Oh, 17 losses.
Woo!
Okay.
This is why the internet is undefeated.
Undefeated.
Oh, the amount of snark, I mean, in the comments section for that post, woo! The Dolphins social media manager is probably going, "I'm probably going to have to rethink these posts going forward with Tua."
Yeah, they're going to, or they're going to come out and say, "This, you know, we knew it. We, it was a joke or something."
I don't know what kind of joke you're
at this time of year. You don't want to really do that self-effacing humor, like.
Well, not with that guy.
Not with snark like that. Not with that guy who's on.
No, you want to do it with Aaron Rodgers. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Back-to-back MVP.
Right.
Fine.
Okay.
Not with a guy that doesn't have an NFL resume yet.
He can shrug that. A guy like Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Josh Allen, Pat Mahomes, those, you know, the guys in the match, they can shrug that off.
It's like, dude, I got a Lombardi trophy and about four MVPs.
They can shrug it off.
You know, talk to me. Talk to me later.
Right.
Catch me outside.
But, yeah. Yeah, that's hard, man.
Yeah. So that was that one caught my attention yesterday because it got posted last night. There are a bunch of people on Twitter claiming, you know, this, the Bills are playing in this game, the Bills are playing in that game. I'm having a hard time attaching any hard credence to those claims. So I am satisfied. In, you know, just waiting until Thursday. You know what I mean? Because the schedule, I would say in the last 3 or 4 years, has really taken on a life of its own.
Well.
In terms of the Twitterverse and social media at large. Because now you got these people coming out from under rocks saying, "Oh, the Bills are playing here. Oh, the Bills have another primetime game. I hear it's going to be here. It was a leak."
Right.
And so, and, you know, that sends Bills fans into a frenzy who can't wait to see what this slate's going to look like. And then I'm just like, oh, here we go. And look, if some of them prove to be true, fantastic. But it's hard for me to attach any credibility to some of these so-called leaks.
No, but there is a lot of interest in it because we've seen, and you did, and we were laughing about it today, how you were like lucky, you felt lucky to get away with writing this article. Remember when in, was it 13?
Oh, 2014.
2014, when the schedule comes out, and you're noticing something. We had the Bills had six teams who were on long rest coming into, and the Bills had to go and play or play them at home.
Six games on short rest.
Six games on short rest, and the other teams were on long rests. Six games. It was, and it's competitive.
And two of them were division games.
So you're that article back then kind of shed light on some of the problems you have with parity, and we've talked about it a ton. Good teams in the league are more consistent, for sure. But bad teams in the league can beat good teams on good days. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it's a competitive edge that is real. So the schedule, it's not for nothing that you look at who you're playing away, when you get long weeks, when's the bye week, what are the teams coming off their bye weeks, who do they play, and is one team kind of showing up a lot on that list. You know, all of this stuff that really is about short weeks, long weeks, competitive edge, six road games in a row, three road games in a row, where the bye week is, it's real.
Yeah.
We've seen it. And so there's a lot of interest, particularly on the football side of it. And you always get this stuff like, well, this team really kind of put in, that, you know, every team makes requests to the schedule makers. It used to be the Bills would say, listen, for our fan base, we want 8 1:00 Sunday afternoon home games. We don't want
and
4
as few in the month of December as
and
possible.
And we want them front loaded. We'd rather go on the road in the
because they know they're going to get fans in the stands when it's not.
That's right.
You know, 10 degrees.
Now it's not so much. I mean, the Bills, I mean, those are drought concerns, right? I mean,
the way
really,
the team's playing now,
they're drought
it doesn't
concerns.
Matter.
Now, those concerns are a little bit alleviated. Other teams have their own, right? Arizona's, you know, don't put us at 1 o'clock in September in the afternoon. You know what I mean?
Well, Miami does that.
Miami does that. All so you or got all that going that. On. So the Bills Miami thing would be a perfect example, stereotypically, of Miami saying, "Listen, give us Buffalo on the road early in the season, and we'll take them late." So both games are in good weather. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that gets all the teams make.
Not all of them
like
get
that.
Honored,
but you can't. Yeah, they can't. They can't acclimate all of them. Then you have
a lot of
stadium
times some
issues.
Team, yes, stadium issues is the big one.
Right.
Like,
for baseball.
Hey, we got to make you aware we're not eligible for a Sunday home game on this date, and this date because of this concert, this thing, and, you know,
this other
Tony Robbins motivational speaker series
right.
is coming to the arena.
Right.
Know, it's, I mean, it's that kind of stuff. They
yeah.
got to they
like
gotta
the
inform
Chiefs,
the league.
The Chiefs, they know their opening day. Is it what is that right? They know their – anyway, they couldn't do a certain – thing on week one or week two because they got a baseball game that day and it's they share parking lots.
Oh, the Chiefs.
Yeah, so that kind of stuff goes on.
So they know they're going to be like away week one or something.
Something like that, right?
I got you.
Same thing with Miami, you know, all these other teams that used to do that. San Diego used to share their
well, the Raiders and the A's.
Right, exactly.
When they were
and
in Oakland like that. Still.
Now that doesn't happen so much anymore because of, you know, standalone football only stadiums and they've kind of elevated above that, but you know those are the kind of things you're talking about. So it's there's a lot of interest in this this schedule coming out for all these reasons, and every fan base is a little unique, right? I mean, they've all got their own problems.
I mean, we know Bills fans make weekends out of road games,
right?
Like they want to know.
They want to know.
Hey,
well, think about it. Like two years
last
ago, 2020,
year they wanted to know the Nash. When are we going to Nashville? You know?
2 years ago, 2020. When we thought we were going to have all these – Las Vegas, you had Tennessee, you had San Francisco, you had L.A., all of them. Not L.A. L.A. was home. Where was the other one? Well, was it San Diego? Yeah, it was San Diego when they went out and played in the soccer stadium before SoFi was ready. Everybody wanted to head out there. So, you know, if they can get a tip, you know all the flights are going to be full for these road trips.
They had all three – Florida teams on the road last
That's
year.
That's right.
You know, and Buffalo fans, any chance to get out of the weather
and
go down there and
back
watch a football
game,
they're going
to
do it.
Were the two of them back-to-back? So the people were going to, like, go to the Jacksonville game, then go
Tampa?
To the Miami, or Jacksonville-Tampa? Jacksonville-Miami, Jacksonville-Tampa.
I can't remember.
Or Tampa-Miami. One of those three. Two of them were really close on consecutive weekends. So you go down and conceivably bookend a week-long vacation with a Bills game, which was, you know, think about it. That would have been a lot of fun.
Right.
Right, so I don't know. It's the interest in this stinking schedule reveal. It's unbelievable.
There is interest.
It's an 800-pound gorilla, bro.
And we're talking to you about it again today because today's topic on the Twitter, One Bills Live, is what are you looking at first when the schedule is revealed? You know what I'm saying? Like, are you looking? You're looking right at the top? Are you immediately gravitating towards what's the game times to determine how many primetime games there are? Because that's listed in the left side margin.
Mm-hmm.
Are you looking at the division slate? Are you looking at the marquee games first?
Are
you looking for Chiefs? Are you looking
for
Rams? Are you looking for Bengals?
Outside the division, the Bills have got a couple right off the top of your head, you know. The Rams, the world champions. The Chiefs with Mahomes and the Green Bay Packers with Aaron Rodgers back-to-back MVP going against a guy who's going to be in that conversation at the end of the year, Josh.
You're both playing. They're both Super Bowl participants from last year.
Cincinnati, Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. You know, you're playing Lamar Jackson, who's a former MVP in the same draft class as the guy that's taking snaps in Buffalo. Lamar and Josh are playing against each other. Mitch Trubisky, who was on the Buffalo Bills last year, has a shot at being a starting quarterback against the team he was a backup for last year in Buffalo. You know, you can go down the list. So there's a lot of that stuff in this schedule for Bills fans,
mm-hmm.
let alone the Bills fans who notoriously travel.
Yeah.
You know? And then you got Christmas games. You got Thanksgiving games. There's six of those. And Monday night, Sunday night, Thursday night. You got to think the Rodgers game is going to be a standalone, right? It's going to be a standalone game, right?
It's probably a good chance for that, I would think. I would think the best, the most likely primetime candidates on the schedule are Chiefs, Rams, Bengals, Packers, and I'm going to say Ravens.
Right.
The reason why is because you got the two quarterbacks from the 2018 class. Yeah. Lamar has been a former MVP.
And they may, and it's always a thing here, too, that you can always go to because they can always flex those games. So they put those games late in the season. So if it's good, they keep it. If it's bad, they flex out of it. Right. And if it looks good, games that look good today in May aren't necessarily great matchups in November, December. So they can always get out of them if they want. But they look good today.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550, the numbers to get on board. Have an open line for you there. What are you looking at first when the schedule is released tomorrow at 8 p.m.? Jim in Jamestown, hang tight. You're going to be our leadoff hitter when we return here on One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to One Bills Live. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you. We were just getting a countdown from our esteemed producer, Jay Harris, and he went from 7 to 5.
Yeah, he was...
8, 7, 5, 4. What the hell happened to 6? Did we not pay for it?
What are you doing out there?
How much of a shoestring budget are we on? God, we can't even use the number 6
afford,
anymore.
We can't even afford all the seconds that we get to count down. That's where we're at here.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. What are you looking at first when the Bills schedule is released? Tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern time, be there or be square.
We'll come back and talk about this. What do you think? What do? You check primetime games first?
I always check the opener.
I think I do, too.
I always want to see what the first home, away.
I mean, if you're going to read the list, just start at the top, and that's with the home opener.
Yeah. I mean, it almost sounds stupid, but like my eyeballs usually go there. I would say the next thing I do is I check the kickoff times down the left column to see how many primetime games there are.
I've been doing this a long time. Here's what you do, and here's how it works for everybody, whether you admit it or not.
Straight from the Tasker tutorial.
It's very much where you see it first and how it's presented. If you go down the top, the top thing you always look at is the home opener. But then what catches your eye? Is it a string of away games? Where's the bye week? If it's a written list, what catches your eye when you look at it? For me, what catches your eye? If the bye week's all the way at the bottom. When is that? Or it's a string, like, what's all this block here? Oh, my gosh, we got 4 away games in a row. Mm. And if stuff like that is how I see it and visually how it catches your eyes to what you look for next. And then you get into the nitty-gritties. Okay. Like, is the times listed, or is it over on the other side where it's Monday Night Football? Is it the television network's logo that catches your eye? How many CBS? It's whatever catches your eye is what you go to and you start noticing first. You can say you're interested in that stuff first, but what catches your eye is what you're looking at.
I think last year the quirk of the schedule was the Bills played the Dolphins twice before they played the Patriots or the Jets done with the Dolphins before they even looked at any other division
team. What catches your eye is what's unusual about it.
Yeah, the quirks.
That's what catches your eye. Okay. And I think it's really interesting to think about that because, like you said, you look for, all right, what do they do to us this time? Like, what's going to make this a problem?
I admit I am a born cynic.
What's
a
problem? You're a Long Islander. You're a New Yorker. You're going to be like, all right, what'd they do to us this time?
That's right.
What you do. As a journalist, you're always looking for that. For me, I'm always like, okay,
I don't have a lot of faith in the system.
What catches my eye about this? What's interesting?
It's better
about
than
it
used to be, though. I will say that. They've done a great job of making it as fair and equitable as they possibly can.
They try. Well, they've always tried, but they didn't care as much before.
Well, no. I mean, sometimes they're with all the permutations they have to go through, there's going to be something that slips through the cracks, but they've done a really good job of putting caulk in those cracks the last,
when are they
gonna
say, get, when
are they 8
just to
gonna, 10 years.
When are they just going to go to 2 preseason games and give us the 18-game schedule and the Tasker plan?
That will happen before this CBA is out. You watch.
It's
a 10-year CBA. What happened before it's up?
I agree.
Let's go to the phones and to Jim in Jamestown, who's been waiting patiently to lead us off today. Jim, you're on One Bills Live. What do you got for us?
Steve, I think it's a travesty you're not in the Hall of Fame by now.
And there is our...
And I think the Bills have a really good shot for another Super Bowl run this year.
Yeah, they do.
Now, what, Jim, answer me this, because I'm curious what you think about this, because you know, you're sharing a lot of the same expectations of a lot of Bills fans. Is there anything that could happen with this schedule that would make you feel any differently? Like, let's just say they've got three road games in a row somewhere, and it's at Rams, at Chiefs, and at, like, is there anything that would change your mind?
At home.
I would say... I think the Bills are going to go 12-3 this year.
12-3? We're only playing 15?
Okay.
12-5?
12-5, yeah.
Okay.
Is that what he said?
Win the AFC East easily.
Okay.
I mean, come on. Who else do they have in the AFC East besides the Bills?
Well, the teams, I think, are closing the gap, but the Bills are still the class of the division for sure. There's no debate there.
That's so true.
But the AFC is a bear, Jim. The AFC is a bear with big fangs and claws all the quarterbacks
it's
we got in this conference now. I mean, they don't have to play the Broncos, but, you know, we added Russell Wilson, Matt Ryan, you know. I mean, the rich got richer in the AFC. It's crazy.
That's true.
It's crazy. Yeah. I mean, all the quarterback swaps.
The team
in the AFC got the better of the deal.
You think about it, the team that doesn't have a quarterback is also the team that was the number one seed last year in the same situation with the same quarterback, Tennessee.
I mean, it is 100% an arms race in this conference. Literally.
Think about it. Mac Jones from last year, and also the Pittsburgh Steelers, with now they're switching quarterbacks, but Mac Jones is probably the guy you're thinking, okay, that's a quarterback in the playoffs. But you've got Matt Ryan.
I mean, even the
Joe Burrow, Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson,
Justin Herbert.
Those are the guys that are on teams that were out of the playoffs last year.
Justin Herbert.
Guy
threw for 5,000 yards, didn't make the playoffs.
And then Russ Wilson is for the 13th place in the AFC Denver Broncos.
There were two guys that threw for 5,000 yards last year. Justin Herbert and some guy named Brady. That was it. He didn't make the playoffs.
That's a tough...
It's a pretty good conference.
Pretty good conference.
And he's playing in a division that has now added Russell Wilson and Devontae Adams to it.
Then the other
and
side...
And Khalil Mack.
Yeah.
Have fun with that. Well, Khalil Mack's on his team, so he's probably pretty happy about that. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's what we're looking at in the AFC.
Listen, it's a quarterback league.
You added Matt Ryan and Russell Wilson to the AFC along with Devontae Adams.
It's a quarterback league. You got Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Carr, Mac Jones. You got Matt Ryan.
Did you say Herbert?
You got Herbert. You got Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, Russ Wilson.
You even got Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson.
Trevor Lawrence.
Two of the better... I would say they're probably going to be two of the better quarterbacks
and
from that class.
And the other side of it, it's Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Dak Prescott.
Matthew Stafford.
Matt Stafford, Kyler Murray.
And that's
Jimmy
it.
Garoppolo.
No, no.
And that's it.
No,
that's
no.
it. Drops off.
Garoppolo is not on the list.
Garoppolo, Hurts, Winston, Jameis Winston.
Come on.
Cousins.
Come on with this.
Yeah.
There's
nothing.
It dropped off a cliff after Stafford.
Like half the teams in the playoff race in the NFC have quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And every team, all the way down to the 10th team in the AFC, has got a quarterback.
It is so lopsided, it hurts.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the phones and to Gary Onassell, who wants to talk schedule. What we got for us, Gary?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good.
First thing about Brady, I thought Troy Aikman was boring. This is going to be the most vanilla announcement you've ever seen.
Oh, so you think Brady's going to be even worse?
Oh, every time they interview him, I want to fall asleep.
Yeah, me too.
I
mean, you can only hear so much about avocado toast. You know what I mean?
Oh, that is – he's always so upbeat and just so,
Well, you would be too if you won 7 Super Bowls and had a supermodel as a wife
and made 27 or 30 million dollars a year.
Made had a 37 and a million, 37 and a half million dollar contract waiting for you when you finished your career that you were better at than anybody else.
Yeah, it's not hard to take on the day.
Pretty happy too.
When you got that going for you, it's not
hard to
take on the day.
You'd have laugh lines, Gary. You'd be so happy. Yeah.
What else, Gary?
I just miss John Madden. He made it fun.
Yeah, I agree with that.
He did.
He is.
What do you think? Do you like Romo?
I like him. I mean, he's. I just feel like these guys are told what to say more now. It just seems like, you know, everything's so worried what they say, so they just say the most common stuff.
You think he's a little too cliche, I think, now. He's not as innovative as he was 2 years ago.
Madden.
That's why I like Madden.
Yeah, Madden was like, and thanks for the call, Gary. We got to move along, but Madden was like the guy you sit with at the bar talking football. That's what made him so authentic.
He made it accessible for people who weren't. See, here's the thing. There is such a growing percentage of viewers who do know something about the sport.
Right.
When
so
Madden
it does have to
over,
change and get more
When Madden took over back in the 80s, nobody, you know, it was like you were trying to get soccer moms and guy and everybody else to start watching. And they did because he was like, oh, I understand it now. He says this. I get it.
Yeah.
He didn't say cover two and you roll to cover one.
He wouldn't
and you
say,
got the off corner. And people are going, what?
He wouldn't say like the A gap or the B gap. He'd say, this guy over here has got to block this guy over here.
That's right.
That's what he would say. But now you got guys like Romo, and I would argue that, you know, the fan base is a little more sophisticated.
Even
the casual fan.
It's harder to grip
knows them. A fair amount of material.
It's harder to entertain them because they're watching something they understand a lot better.
We have to take a break here, but Jim in Orchard Park, Scott on a cell. Hang tight. We'll get to you when we return. Here on One Bills Live, Talk and Schedule, presented by Kaleida Health, it's Buffalo Bills Radio. Hey, Bills fans, let's pack the pantry and help Wegmans and head coach Sean McDermott, who are helping Western New York families with food allergies and special diet needs. From May 9th to the 21st, Wegmans is hosting a food drive that will encourage shoppers in Buffalo and Rochester stores to purchase specially selected items that are either free from the top 8 allergens or gluten-free. Once purchased, customers will be encouraged to place those selected items into bins located at the front of your local stores. All items collected will benefit Feed More of Western New York here in Buffalo and FoodLink in Rochester. This initiative is being spearheaded by Coach McDermott because two of his three kids have food allergies. One has a nut allergy and the other has a sesame allergy, which my daughter has a sesame allergy as well. It's a real thing. I mean, she's got the EpiPen and the whole nine yards. And I know I've talked to Coach McDermott about it. His daughter's got the EpiPen. It's a real thing.
Yeah.
You got to read labels. You know, we have... My wife's 100% Italian. I'm half Italian. We have a lot of Italian food in the house. And one of the things we can't have are the breadsticks.
Sesame Italian
bread. And there are a lot of Italian breads that have sesame on their ingredient list. We got to avoid those altogether.
Yeah.
Just not an option. A lot of Asian food is made with sesame oil. Right. Off the list for her. We don't even go near sushi with her because it's not worth the risk. So if you have time... And you're in your local Wegmans in Buffalo or Rochester, consider purchasing one of those special dietary food options for a Western New York family in need.
Kudos to Coach McDermott for doing that. And it's as most guys and most even the players who do that, they get involved with this stuff because it's personal.
Yeah,
and so it's you can count on their sincerity of the whole thing doing it. So it's fun to be involved with them.
Yeah, so good on Wegmans for helping out in that regard. Speaking of food, Steve.
Okay.
I don't know if you saw this. Washington Commanders rookie quarterback, Sam Howell, North Carolina, draft choice. He only eats chicken when it comes to any type of meat protein.
Okay.
Steve, he has never tried a hamburger. He has never tried steak. And he won't eat seafood.
He's
he is chicken only by choice. He's not like...
He's never even tried beef.
Never touched his lips. No burger, no steak in his life. He has only eaten chicken as a meat or a, you know, like a meat protein. No fish, seafood, not a burger, not a steak. What's wrong with this man?
Yeah, I get along with everybody, and I have a lot of tolerance and grace for everybody who I come across, and that guy's a freak.
Steve.
He is a freak.
After looking...
That's like leprosy right there.
Leprosy.
That is an altered state. You can't. You can't trust that guy.
Let me tell you something.
That guy doesn't even pet my dog.
He's out.
Get away.
He is a pariah.
That guy's a pariah.
An outcast.
You can't even forget it. Can't even try beef.
I did a little digging here. It gets worse.
I get it. If you're vegan and all, hey, I'll give you a hug. No problem. You don't even
this one doesn't
forget it.
This doesn't hit the legitimacy meter in any way, shape, or form. And here's why. Okay, because I did a little digging into this story a little further. So being a football player,
yeah, you got to keep weight on and all that.
Well,
right?
Not only that, but like you go out with your position group, you go out to dinner. 8 times out of 10, where are these football players?
They're steakhouse.
They're going to a steakhouse.
Yeah. Now wait a minute. Now if it's steakhouse,
No.
They don't even have poultry on the menu. You got to eat fish.
I don't know what steakhouses.
They always have salmon or something on there, right?
I don't know what, but he doesn't eat seafood.
Right.
So I don't know what steakhouse he goes to, but he claims when he goes to a steakhouse with his teammates, I'm glad you're sitting, he orders chicken tenders. Steve.
What steakhouse? Steve, what self-respecting steakhouse? Oh, the kids'
the
menu?
Kids, we're dealing with a six-year-old. Yeah. What do you get, the dino chicken nuggets, Sam?
You know what? Here's what's
going to happen.
I'm
telling you right now, Steve, if this guy ever starts in the league for Washington, like let's just say the Carson Wentz thing doesn't work, can't you see visiting fans pelting him with chicken tenders, like little dino chicken nuggets? They're just flicking them at him as he runs up the tunnel.
Let me say this. Oh, my God,
I can see it.
I get it. Yeah, I can see that too, but that's not going to happen. There is no self-respecting organization that will turn the reins over to a billion-dollar industry to a guy that won't eat beef and hasn't ever tried it.
Hold on.
Can't eat seafood? Come on, man.
I got one more for you Sam Howell.
That's a weird
one. I got one more for you.
Go ahead.
So when you're on the road, okay, you're at the hotel. There is usually what for the evening meal? Team dinner, right?
Yeah.
Team shows up.
Yeah, right.
They got the buffet
catered,
line.
It's all catered. It's all
you go down the buffet
the
line.
The menu is set
inevitably
by the team.
There is something you like.
The menu is set by the team's nutritionist to get these guys geared up. Right.
In college, when he went to team dinner, he would bring his own chicken tenders. Yeah. We're dealing with a second grader.
Yeah, that's a second grader.
I want my chicken tenders.
Yeah, that's...
Sam Howell's going to lead your football team?
That's the second grader you don't ask your birthday party to, by the way.
I mean, we're dealing with a six-year-old.
Yeah.
This is a kid who whined for chicken tenders. I blame the parents. I blame the parents here.
100%.
This is the kid 100%. Who at 7 years old whined until his parents just said, all right, the hell with it. I'm going to nuke you some chicken tenders in the microwave. I'm tired of hearing you whine.
That's soft
they
parenting.
They gave in.
That's soft parenting.
It is. I blame the parents here.
I do too.
Mr. and Mrs. Howell, I am sorely disappointed
that
you caved and gave this kid chicken tenders. It's now the only thing you'll eat.
Yeah. I'll say this. I'm serious. He's not getting near my dog, Vern. I don't trust him.
It's a good thing he's playing in Washington.
Like
that would not fly here.
You can't trust a guy like that. Come on.
I mean,
he's never even
tried it. I know you and I subscribe to a similar parenting philosophy.
Yeah.
And I still remember my wife, God bless her, anytime the kids raised any kind of stink about what we were having for dinner, and I cook a good portion of the time, certainly more than half the time, my wife would say, hey.
That's fine.
You get what you get, and you don't throw a fit.
Oh, yeah.
We're not making a separate meal for you.
My wife and I had serious
arguments.
This is
what you're getting.
My wife had serious arguments about it. Listen, you say, what are you going to give them? No, this is what we're having.
Yeah.
They don't have to eat it, but they ain't getting anything else. That's the way I grew up. That's just the way it was. You didn't go in. There wasn't like this menu in the pantry of like, there's a bag of chips. You can grab that. There's none of that going on.
You get what you get.
Oh, yeah.
And
I'm a great eater as a result. I mean, I'll eat anything.
Here's the best part. So my daughter was like a waif of a kid. Like she was a rail.
Right.
And my wife and I would have discussions sometimes and we would say, she's, you know, if she doesn't eat this, should we be worried about her getting the proper nutrition? And then we both very quickly came to the determination, hey, look, we're not Darwin, but kids and any species not going to starve themselves. They will eat.
Right. That is exactly
eventually.
Right.
So they will bend and succumb to eating what is on their plate.
Hunger creates discipline.
Oh, my God. Put that on a sign and hang it over the door.
Hunger creates a great deal of discipline.
Hunger creates discipline.
Bro.
I love it.
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't have to battle him. Yeah, you know what? And I'll say this: you want your kid to stop eating. If you don't want your kids to eat chips and Cheetos and all that stuff, this just in: don't buy them. Chicken. Don't have them in the house.
I gotta tell you,
it's that simple. They can't eat it if it ain't sitting right here.
I mean, this may eventually benefit Sam Howell if he becomes a starting quarterback in the league because all the chicken outlets are going to line up.
Oh, sure.
To get this guy. Now, the only other guy I can think of that had a similar approach, Wade Boggs, who played third base for the Red Sox and later the Yankees in his later years, he only ate chicken as a pregame meal. But that was more of a routine thing.
Right. I get that. That's
only
that's
ate
not
chicken
what we're talking
every
about.
Day.
That's not what we're talking about here with this other kid. What's his name?
Sam Howell.
All right. I'm rooting against. This is the only guy in the NFL I'm rooting against.
Sam Howell, he of the chicken tenders and chicken tenders only, has never tried a hamburger. Is he even American?
That bothers me. Well, that we're just yeah.
That's anti-American.
We're doomed if we're.
He didn't even mention hot dogs.
If we're producing,
what is that kid eating on the 4th of July?
If we're producing athletes of this nature, we're doomed. We're doomed.
Oh my gosh, we got to take a break because when we come back. We're going to give you a little post-draft review. If you want to get to know Khalil Shakir, Bill's fifth-round draft choice out of Boise State a little bit more, come back after the break. That's when we're talking to Shakir's head coach at Boise State. Andy Avalos is going to join us next, head coach of the Broncos, here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio.
Steve Tasker, who has been all over the field.
Kind of unique. He was kind of a dual-role player for you.
Steve.
A balloon.
Steve. A blimp. We're not even in the stratosphere of normalcy. All right, welcome to hour number two here on a Wednesday. We'll be talking a little bit more schedule in just a bit, but we turn now to a little post-draft review. On day three of the draft, the Bills moved up 20 spots in round five to scoop up Boise State wide receiver Khalil Shakir. And here to give us a little bit more of the background on Shakir is the man that recruited him to Boise State, second-year head coach Andy Avalos. Okay, Coach, so let's begin here where you began with Khalil. In high school, he's a do-everything threat down in Murrieta, and he's running wildcat quarterback. He's got like 900 rushing yards, and he's catching passes. Did you see him right away as a receiver, you know, that you hoped you could land for the Broncos?
Yeah, no question. I mean, from the standpoint of being extremely versatile, we always try to have one or two guys in our offense that is what we call the weapon. A guy that can do multiple things, play in the backfield, handle himself, but not necessarily be, you know, a permanent guy back there, but can play in the slot, line up, be a fly sweep type of guy. And it was very evident from the beginning, you know, as we started to watch Shaq's film in high school and the things that his high school coaches said about him, that number one, he's able to handle the mental side of playing all these different positions and it doesn't slow him down. He actually enjoys doing all these different things. And obviously when you pop on the film, it wasn't hard to see, you know, his talent in the things he can do on the field.
One of the things I know about being a college coach is you're kind of projecting where this guy might go to, because when you start recruiting these guys at 17 years old, a lot of these guys turn into something different. when they get to college, they put on weight, they grow taller. Tell us a little bit about Shakir's transformation. When he came in, how far did he have to go to get to be this top-flight recruit and a top-flight draft pick that we see now? And tell us about that transition.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, from high school to college, we talk about it all the time. It's going to be one of the biggest growth seasons of their life in a lot of different aspects. The mental side, and as you were talking about, the physical side. And that just comes down to development, number one, how hard Shaq works every single day. What he puts into a workout is, I mean, he gets out of it different. He gets out of it a lot more than other people that are doing the same workout because of what he puts into it. And that's who he is in a training session, in the weight room, conditioning sessions, and then obviously practice. You know, he practices the way he plays. And you love those guys from the standpoint of, you know, you gotta pull them back a little bit instead of having to get them going. And I think ultimately that's what allowed Shaq to develop, you know, coming from the high school player that he was, playing all these multiple positions, to being able to really identify that, hey, this guy, he can line up and play slot inside. He can line up on the outside, as well as the things that, you know, we know he can do in the backfield.
We often hear from Coach McDermott here in Buffalo that they look for players that they believe have Bills, what they call Bills DNA. And it's usually somebody that they're not going to wonder, hey, what am I getting from this guy in week 16 when his body's hanging and he's beat up? I want to know that I'm still going to get the same thing out of him in a practice on a Thursday in week 16 that I get in week 2 or 3. They obviously feel that Khalil has that. Having sat in his living room with his parents and, you know, talked to them, knowing his dad's a master sergeant in the Marines, did you kind of derive pretty quickly that, you know, Khalil was kind of a straight and narrow, always get the job done kind of kid?
Very self-driven, number one. His standard and expectations for himself is very high. So what comes with that is the consistency of what you're talking about, whether it's week number 2 or week number 17. You know, he's going to come to get it done every morning. And the best part about him, too, is it's not just about him. It is about him in terms of how he carries himself and the standard he holds himself to. But when I say it's not about him, it's not about all the flash and everything else. It's about the team. It's about the things he does to help his teammates, to help bring them along. And that's one of the best qualities about him, is that he is a great, great teammate.
Yeah, and one of the things you see, you can kind of tell, you look for subtleties when you watch film and stuff, and it does seem like his teammates responded to him as well, like he was a well-liked guy. You see him when he celebrates, he's got like 6 guys coming by to give him 5. You know, they all want to make sure they get over to say hi to him. You don't always see that. Was he that kind of presence in your locker room?
Without a doubt. I mean, through the middle of the year last year, he was a, you know, we became way more consistent as a whole team. And a lot of that had to do with him and, you know, just a couple other guys in our leadership that really put their foot down and said, listen, we're going to be more consistent overall with our accountability and player to player. And we're going to lead that. It can't be the coaches. We've got to lead that as players. And he did an unbelievable job helping us create that. And obviously through this last spring, our team has been able to build off of those, some of these things we reestablished within our foundation. But you can see on some of these highlights right here that you guys are playing, you know, it's not all about him. He makes a big play and his teammates are there to celebrate with him because his teammates know that, you know, he does everything for the team. And it's not only when he has a ball in his hands too. Now the guy will block, the guy will do other things to help his teammates as well.
Talking with Boise State head football coach Andy Avalos, who obviously coached Khalil Shakir, Bill's 5th-round draft choice. And the other thing, too, that I wanted to kind of get a sense of from you, Coach, because Brandon Bean, the general manager here in Buffalo, already said we kind of envision him being that 4th wideout who backs up all 3 spots. You already shed some light on, you know, Khalil's mental processing skills and the ability to handle that kind of responsibility. What I want to get from you is there seems to be a certain kind of polish to his route running. Can you just maybe elaborate on what he has done, or, well, how much is learned in that area of football, and how much of that you just have to have to kind of recognize leverage of the defense or where the green grass is. You know, the nuances of route running. He seems to be very advanced in that area for what will, you know, he's going to be a rookie in the fall.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, there's obviously a ceiling that there's still room to grow for him in those areas. But his knowledge of leverage, whether he's in the slot and he's running routes based off of leverage of defenders, certain coverages and those things, like he can see those and adapt and adjust. You know, our quarterback here, Hank Bachmeyer, would, you know, he trusted and relied on Khalil and would go to him a lot more because he knows that Shaq's going to be where he's supposed to be consistently from that standpoint. You know, and from the standpoint of we move Shaq around a lot too. And so not only is he doing it from a stationary position, but he's doing it from, you know, coming off of motion. And when coverages are adjusting due to motion, and he's still able to figure those things out pretty quickly. And so, you know, he's going to have to continue to develop in all areas. You know, he is a good route runner. One of the, his quickness, his lateral quickness is really, really good. He could obviously continue to build off of getting in and out of his routes, his transitions, things like that.
Most of us here in Buffalo, we don't think about college football until it's time to draft some of these guys. Give us an idea of your team. Where I know this is going to your second year as head coach. You've been associated with a program before. You're an alumni. You were a great player there. Give us an idea about where you were at this year and what your future prospects are. Where are the Boise State Broncos going to do in the next year or two? What are your plans?
Yeah, no question. So like we were talking about before, in the middle of the year last year, we really made a big jump with our consistency week in and week out. And so Shaq had a big part of that. We were able to carry on with that this spring. The competitive nature of the team and the consistency of the team this spring, it looks totally different than it did last year. So the guys are leading it now, much like what Khalil got started. And he left his, you know, Khalil really left his footprint on this program in terms of helping us reestablish this foundation of how it's always been at Boise State, where, you know, the players are elite competitors and they help lead. And, you know, from here going forward, we actually have a lot of guys that have come back that either were plus one seniors due to the COVID year and or guys that potentially could have went to the NFL. So we're excited about the depth and the roster we have coming back going into the summertime here. The guys are on a little break right now, but we start summer workouts here in a couple of weeks, and we're excited to get them back and finish doing the work it's going to take to be an elite team.
The last one for me, Coach, obviously you probably kept at least one eye on the draft for obvious reasons. After you saw, you know, Khalil go on day three, what was the exchange that, you know, maybe you had with him, either if it was just a simple quick text or a phone call?
Well, just through the process and, you know, in the days, you know, the first couple of days of the draft there, it's just, hey, be patient. Everything happens for a reason. You'll end up in the right place because of who you are, and the right people are going to want you. And it's going to be an unbelievable fit. Obviously, what the Bills have done here of late in building their program and their team and their organization into the competitive team that they are. I mean, it's exciting to know that Shaq's going to go into a place where it is about the team, where, you know, they're looking for a certain DNA because he does have that. And that's where, you know, it's a huge fit for him. And that's why we're all excited to see what he does.
Well, Coach, congratulations. And I know Bills fans will be thanking you for all the work you've done with Shakir to get him ready for his time here in Buffalo. We're excited to see him play. Can't wait to have him come in and get a look at him in rookie minicamp.
We're looking forward to that as well. Thank you guys for having Boise State on. Go Broncos.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Coach. Good luck this coming season.
Thank you, guys.
All right. That's Boise State head football coach Andy Avalos joining us to talk a little bit about Bills fifth-round draft pick Khalil Shakir.
So pretty cool to kind of just get a little bit more insight into what Khalil is going to bring. I thought it was interesting. It's clear that his nickname is Shaq.
Right.
You know, playing off of his last name, Shakir. His nickname, Shaq. I don't know if that's going to fly here. We already have a Shaq. We got Shaq Lawson on the roster.
Yeah.
You have to come up with a different nickname for him.
That's not a small thing either. Yeah. I'll say that. Yeah. After living in a locker room, having your own nickname.
Maybe he's Little Shaq.
Yeah. Something will happen.
Shaq Jr.
Because nobody goes by their full name ever. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. But it's nice to see and indicative of the kind of vetting process these draft picks go through, not just with the Bills and the Bills, this finger quotes Bills DNA. Every team feels that way. They got to find a guy they like. Some teams don't put as, even in this day and age, don't put as much emphasis on that as other teams do. You know, teams are drafting guys with, you know, issues all the time. And let's face it, they got to draft somebody. And not every kid is going to be the quality of, you know, of a, you know, Khalil Shakir or guys like that, or, you know, Tre'Davious White and the guys that, you know, you can go down the list on the Bills, the guys who, you know, you don't love, who have great character and, you know, kind of those great personalities we love. Not everybody's going to be like that. But it's indicative as to how important the Bills front office thinks it is and how far they'll go jumping up 20 spots to grab them.
I would say the most eye-opening comment made by Brandon Bean was 10 minutes after he drafted the kid. He basically said we could see him in the number four receiver role, which in this offense is responsible for backing up all three spots, the X, the Z, the slot. And that was the role that Gabe Davis had here as a rookie because they felt he could handle it. So the most encouraging thing that I just heard from Coach Avalos was not only did they put him in a similar role, lining him up anywhere, and that he was capable of mentally processing all of those responsibilities, but what he said after that encourages me even more. He said he embraced being responsible for all those spots. So it's not just a kid who's capable of handling it all mentally. He wants it.
Yeah.
Give it to me. That's big.
That's the way Gabe Davis was too. And in 2020 was Gabe Davis's rookie season.
Yeah.
And I remember, and you and I talked about it at the time, they bust out in this 2020. They go 13-3 and through maybe one of the toughest schedules in the league that year. They were going through the NFC West, the AFC. I mean, it was like, wow. So they come out, bust out on opening day. Gabe Davis is on the field.
Yeah.
And he's like lined up over there. He's lined up over here. And it doesn't stop. He caught the first ball of the Buffalo Bills in his rookie season that season.
Yeah.
He was the first player to catch a pass that year.
Right.
Now,
in the grand scheme
big.
Of, yeah, in the grand scheme of things in 2020, he was a role player.
Sure.
He only had 35 receptions, but seven of them went for touchdowns, and three other touchdown catches got called back on penalty. Now, I don't want to set the bar too high for Shakir, and they are different receivers. Shakir is not as big as Gabe Davis is. Gabe Davis is 6'2", 215. Big kid, sneaks behind defenses. Not a burner, but can get deep. I think Shakir is more of a he's like your crossover SUV. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He's not gigantic.
Big.
He's about 5'11", around 190.
A little
and
better
change,
on the open road.
You know, but I, you know, and mentally he's probably on a par with Gabe Davis, at least in terms of being a rookie. I just think there is some route nuance, as we discussed with Coach Avalos, to Shakir's game, where he comes into the league a little wise beyond his years in that aspect of the position that he plays. And Davis had some of that too. And again, I don't want to keep drawing parallels to Davis, but because Brandon Bean felt comfortable doing it, I'm a little more apt to do it myself, but yeah, we'll have to wait and see. There's a lot of ground to cover between now and the start of the preseason, let alone the regular season.
And no matter how plus or minus his skill set is in comparison to Gabe Davis, who filled that role up until now, he seems to be a starter, a number two. Shakir seems to embrace that, and you need a guy. Coaches want a guy, need a guy, look for a guy who can do it. You can. If something happens in a game, line him up at the X. Oh, now he's the Z. Now you need him at the Y. Okay, now you're the H on this play. Now you're going to be the Z on the next play. You need a guy that you know and the quarterback knows is going to be at least line up right. And that sounds like a small thing. It is not. He's going to line up right, and he's going to know what he's supposed to do. Whether he's the one option or not, at least the defense has to think he does. No, they're going to have to guard him. And at least you got a guy who you're not saying out there, like, go out there and run this.
Take up space.
He goes out there and he's on it. you need a guy that you don't have to coach up in the middle of a play. That's big because it's not easy. These offenses are complex and they're important, and you need him to do something so that somebody else comes open or to go someplace, and if he's open, you got a touchdown. Gabe Davis was a master at that. It was really good. If Shakir just knows where to line up and knows what to do on every play out of every spot, it's an enormous asset for him in his career and the team offensively when you get into a game and somebody goes down, which somebody always does. Somebody always has, you know, twisted ankle, or they're out for a game. They got dinged. They have to walk something off.
Hamstring strain.
Or they just need a break. They ran three goes in a row. You need a guy to come in. Okay, plug him in. Let him take a couple of plays and give the guy a drink of water. That stuff in the nuts and bolts of what it takes to win games is really, really important. And the trust is something that they don't give out to anybody.
Well, and that's the other thing. Anybody. He's gonna, like, all this pedigree is very encouraging. You know, his dad was a Marine. He was a master sergeant. You knew he grew up in a disciplined household. He does all the right things as a teammate. Mental processing is off the charts, can handle a heavy mental workload, multiple position responsibilities, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now the proof's going to be in the pudding. Do it on the field.
Right.
Because the number one thing that coaches value in players is trust.
That's exactly right.
You could have all the ability in the world to play at this level, but if the coach is not convinced that you're capable of executing your assignment, handling an audible at the line of scrimmage, or making a decision and reading a defense the same way the quarterback does, you're not going to get a lot of playing time.
Right.
Not in this league. There's too much on the line every week.
That's right.
You have to be trusted by a coaching staff if you expect to get any kind of appreciable playing time.
And that's the way it's going to be.
It's definitely the way it is here.
That's the way it is everywhere. Coaches, that's why we've all seen it through the decades of our lives where this coach, he went here and he brought this guy with him, and he brought that guy with him, he brought this guy with him. That's why, you know, this coach, this player, this veteran, you know, this administrator, this scout, guys bring guys like that with them because they trust them, period. That's all you have to say. That's all you have to say. And to earn that is very important for a guy's career, any player's career.
Yeah, and Brandon Bean also said in his draft wrap-up press conference, I think he told us here when he was on set with us in studio last week, he said, yeah, after I picked Shakir, I got a couple of angry texts from some other GMs in the league saying, ah, you took our guy.
Yeah.
You know, because let's not forget, the biggest move the Bills made on the board was in round 5 for Khalil Shakir. They moved 20 spots up the board. And granted, it's easier to move up and down the board in the later rounds where right. the picks aren't nearly as valuable.
Right.
But moving up 20 spots for a guy that was sticking out like a sore thumb on Buffalo's board. I mean, if there could ever be a big statement made about a fifth-round draft choice, moving up 20 spots to get him is probably it.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll see. I mean, they got a long way to go, but certainly I think this draft class, more so than any others, struck me with the skill sets they got. Elam, Shakir, and Cook. Those are guys that have certain skill sets that can get in and contribute right now. You don't always see that.
Versatile players.
Versatile.
You know, Elam can play any defensive scheme.
Right. Their versatility.
Cook can do anything from the running back position.
And your ability to plug them in. Even Bernard, Terrell Bernard, the third-round linebacker, is a guy that fits in between, you know.
Can play both linebacker spots.
Right. Both of them. Edmonds and Milan.
He might even be able to play the hybrid position.
So, yeah.
You know, in a big nickel situation.
Exactly. So, I think I said this. This is my mantra going forward. I told you this. This morning when we got in here, you're going to see a lot more positionless football players in the NFL. You're going to have guys who can play halfback, fullback, tight end, wide receiver and mix it all in there. And you're going to have three – if you have three of those guys and one of them's – you know what I mean? It's
– think about O.J. Howard.
Think about how hard it's going to be to defend those guys. O.J. Howard's a great example.
O.J. Howard is like a tight receiver.
Right.
You know
but
what I mean?
He's 6'5 plus and he's 200
and he runs
plus,
like a deer.
And he can outrun people. So, yeah, that he's an issue for a defense to match up against. So,
because we were talking to Dan Orlovsky about that on the show yesterday. Guys that are not scheme dependent. You know, they kind of morph and change with how you change personnel groupings,
right.
position assignments, how alignments.
They're going to put them out there, see what you think about them as a defense, and then they're going to make their call with other personnel about, you know, we're going to get you then. Yeah. You know, if you do this, we're going to do that. And if you do that, we're going to do something else. So being that versatile out of the same personnel grouping is critical to victory in the way the NFL's run now. It's a matchup league.
Break time for us here. When we return, we will get your thoughts on the tweet sheet in terms of what you'll be looking at first when the Bills' 2022 regular season schedule is released on Thursday night. There may even be a little bit of time for a very special edition of NFL True False. You'll see when we return here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health, airing on WGR Radio in Buffalo and The Fan 95.7 FM in Rochester. All right, let us know. What are you looking at first when the Bills schedule is released tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on NFL Network? We go to the tweet sheet for your answers on this subject. Tweet sheet brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official equipment moving company of the Buffalo Bills. Jack on the tweet sheet says, how many primetime games do we get? How many national window games? And will we get a 4 p.m. at home? I know I'm in the minority, but I love 4 p.m. home games. How many games in September will we get at home versus how many games in the deep freeze of December/January will we have to endure as fans? Speaking so for the fans going to the games, that is something that I've heard before that they look at immediately. How many home games do we have in December?
Right. That's true.
Because I'll tell you right now, wife is not a post-Halloween home game fan.
We all do that. And for those of you, speaking of deep freezes, our studio
turned into a meat locker.
Mark it on the calendar. It's like the day that air conditioner kicked on. It's freezing. I got an Instigator sweatshirt
threw
on.
A parka on.
It's freezing in here. My God, I can't even sit still. It's so, I'm like shivering.
Steve's got chicken skin under his pullover.
But yeah, you do. We all, and let's face it, everything about the schedule, all these topics that people look at it, we all digest them at some point. We all kind of get our minds around what it's going to be because we chew this up because it's going to, for me and you, obviously, it affects our lives on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
But for most people, they got plans. They want to, like, vacations, time off, family gatherings. You got, you know, trips you want to take. You want to go see the team. All
or
of that
road,
stuff.
Yeah, road trip games. For a road game.
So we all digest every facet of this schedule as it comes out and in some way, shape, or form. But the first thing you look at, and you're right, people kind of prioritize what's, you know, it starts with how it affects me. Like, am I going to go to that opener? When's the is it week one or is it week two, the Monday night game? All right, so then what are we going to do? And then road trips you want to take. So we all go through it, and, you know, Jack goes down the list. How many prime times, national windows, you know.
Yeah, he's running the gamut.
September, how many games in September are we going to look at?
At home. As opposed to how many home games in December.
And then in December,
January.
What's it going to look
like? The schedule goes into January now with 17 games in an 18-week season.
And I'll say this, too. This is where the TV people are at odds with Bills fans. TV people want Bills to have four December home games because they want to get them one of those games that is impossibly like the Indianapolis game. They want that.
Yeah.
And Bills fans are like, no.
Don't make me sit in that.
Right.
I don't have
just
to.
Give us, you know, put them on the road to Miami and L.A. in December. Yeah. So we don't have to do that. We'll take the home games in, you know, January in the playoff time. Give us those. We'll live through those. Yeah. Those we can do. But, you know, come on.
Mike on the tweet sheet says, I'm looking to see if the rumor, R.E. Bills at Ravens Thanksgiving night, is legit. This one crossed on social media last night and set off a firestorm. As it was a claimed leak, there is no validity to that tweet last night, as we understand it. So we're going to have to just wait and see if it proves to be true. But Mike says, we'll be traveling from Florida to meet up with Ravens fans' family for the game if, in fact, Bills at Ravens Thanksgiving night rumor is true. At what temp is Raven medium rare?
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. You got plans. And it's interesting because you got family and friends who are huge fans of one team or the other, and they want, you know, when you're going to watch it together as fun, you know, you got to get that under your belt. That's a good call. I mean, I get that too. And I've said it a ton. We're going round and round about how cool it is to be here in Buffalo for some of these home games, particularly the ones that you can tailgate for. Man, oh man, there's nothing like it. If the weather's great, there's no place like it. That's why, you know, I was playing around a golf with a guy, and he said, I love going to the game. His company's got a box, so he's
what's he worried about?
He goes, I love being at the game. He goes, my friends, who if it's bad out, they don't even want to come to the game when it's bad out, and I got a box because they like watching it at home with their routine. He goes, I love being there. Win, lose,
it's hard
during.
To be.
He goes during the drought. All those, I loved it because it's a great event happening and everybody's there. He goes, you can't miss it.
Yeah.
So that's how some people feel. Yeah, it's hard to beat game day in Highmark.
Yeah. Tiffany says it's that first game, especially if it's Thursday against the Rams. If you put it to the defending champs in their building on national TV, it's a heck of a way to start a season filled with championship expectations.
Yeah, there's a big, I saw this the other night, people are like, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. We're going to start in L.A., we're going to play the Rams, beat them in their house, and then we're going to play them again in the Super Bowl. It'll be the first game of the season and the last game of the season.
Oh, wow. I hadn't thought of that yet.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what, you know, and it'll be in Vegas, right, for the Super Bowl.
Glendale, Arizona is the Super Bowl.
Oh, is it?
Year.
Okay.
Pro Bowl is Las Vegas.
Oh, okay.
Okay, but yes, Glendale, the Arizona Cardinals Stadium is where.
Oh, I thought it was in
the
Bay?
Super Bowl.
What
no,
I thinking?
No,
it was
sorry.
The draft and everything. Okay,
it was the draft, and
but
then
anyway,
the Pro Bowl will be.
That's
there.
the big kind of wishful thinking scenario.
From Bills fan 12 to 83. For me, it's when is that LA game? My wife and I have family there, so I was hoping we could kill two birds with one stone, and hopefully the Bills Mafia can take over their stadium like we do most places. Go Bills. There is a fair number of Buffalo transplants that live in the state of California. I don't, you know, how many are in L.A. proper to go to the game? I don't know, but I think any Bills fan who lives full-time in California that's within 2 hours of SoFi will be there for that game. Unquestionably.
Yeah, it's a must.
Because that's as close as they're coming to you this year.
Yeah, it's a must. Yeah, people will do it, and I get it. It's a brand-new stadium, too.
It's got
it.
All the bells and whistles you could possibly
imagine.
I'd love
to see it, but I'm not going to make it out there. So,
Weasley on the tweet sheet.
This is a good one.
Josh Allen is going to take his anger out for 23 straight weeks to a Super Bowl title. The schedule order matters very little. Why can I see him putting his pinky up to his mouth like Dr. Evil as he says this?
The order matters very little.
The order matters very little.
Yeah.
Vito says, calling it, Bills at Dolphins week one, Titans at Bills week two will be the home opener. There was a lot of consternation about whether the announced game, Bills hosting Titans on Monday night here in week two, would also be the home opener. And the poor Bills ticket office, they work so hard over there. They put out this email telling people when the home opener is announced, there will be a presale and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Presale for season ticket members, whatever. Because the Bills ticket office in the email did not specifically list the week two Titans game as the home opener, some believed, our first two games are at home. They didn't say the home opener was the Titans game in week two. That means we have another one in week one. I was like, hold on. We're jumping to conclusions there.
Right.
But, you know, try to stop people that are nuts about the schedule. You know what I mean?
Right.
And good now, luck with that.
And he's, you know this, too. We've been talking about it, how teams make requests of the schedule makers. If you can do this, we'd love this. We'd love that. Would the Bills not say, hey, listen, we were snake bitten by weather last year, even in the early going. Could you please give us a bunch of early games at home?
I mean, I could say,
okay, now they're going to get Miami at home, then Tennessee at home, or whoever, Green Bay at home or Tennessee at home. They could open with two home games. Sure. They could open up with four home games. Nothing's written in stone. It's not going to happen. But so, yeah, you could see the Bills asking, say, hey, listen, can we get some early games at home because we got crushed last year by the weather? And maybe it happened. I doubt it.
Yeah. Alan on the tweet sheet says, my wife's a Packers fan, so that's a huge game. That is a home game this year. But I'm already set on going to the home opener on Monday night. See, here's a guy who thinks the home opener is definitely week two. Everybody. Against the Titans. The electricity will be insane. If that is the home opener, Monday night, week two, woo! It's a good thing this place doesn't have a roof. It'd be popped off.
Yeah. Yeah, they'd be taking it off. Yeah, that's... If it is the home opener, which it might be, it's going to be a long day on that Monday.
Mm. Waiting for it, yeah.
Yeah, waiting for it. And
I know that's not the favorite. Plus, that's not often the favorite of the good folks in the Erie County Sheriff's Department. Because it's all day Monday.
I feel for him, man. I know.
For the beverages to flow.
It is a long...
People will be in a froth by 4 in the afternoon.
The bullpen is full. The bullpen is full, and they got.
Lisa on the tweet sheet, I want to see, one, when we play KC and Cincy, weeks, not times, two, when divisional games are, and three, when our primetime games are. I think we get 5 primetime games, extras, when the bye week falls compared to the rest of the division. I will say, people look for where the bye week is, number one, and then they say, did they screw us with the bye week in comparison to our division opponents? There is
also
some of that.
Also, there's a little bit of, do we play a team like Miami on a Thursday night so that we can go down, see the game Thursday, and have a long weekend in Miami?
Oh.
That kind of thing. Is the bye week around a family event? Like, there's people that... or have their hands together praying that the fall wedding that their cousin planned without knowing falls on the bye week.
My niece is getting married.
You have no shot of it working out.
She's getting married Halloween weekend.
You have no shot. But that, you know.
So I'll have some stuff to work around, too.
It's a problem, man. You get a fall wedding, and everybody's looking at it like, maybe the best you can hope for, maybe it's a road game. Or maybe that's a bye week. Best case scenario.
That is the best case.
And it's not. And it almost never happens.
We have to take a break here, Steve and I, to wrap things up. We may even revisit the Sam Howell situation as Liz in Buffalo is waiting patiently to comment on that. We'll try to get to you, Liz, when we return here on One Bills Live, presented by Collider Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio. Last hour at this time, we mentioned how Washington Commanders rookie quarterback Sam Howell only eats chicken, has never had a hamburger or a steak in his life, doesn't eat seafood either. Here to weigh in on this is Liz in Buffalo. Liz, we got only about 30 seconds. What do you have for us?
I would say that he probably has a meat allergy.
No, he doesn't. No, actually, Lisa, he doesn't have a meat allergy.
We actually read up on it. He does not.
He's got an allergy to me being a mature eater.
No, wow. It's a personal choice, Liz. It is. We checked on that. It is not an allergen-based decision. It's a personal choice. He said he basically ate chicken as a young kid and never deviated. And
his parents let him do it.
Yeah, and his parents let him do it. Never tried anything else. Doesn't eat seafood. Brings chicken tenders to team meals. Good Lord. Like, I can just see visiting teams.
That is a dark place.
Visiting
man.
Teams. Fans hurling nuggets at him as he's walking to the
How
tunnel.
Do you live like that?
I don't know. Big show tomorrow as the schedule will be coming out. Matty Glab, however, will be in my place as I am out for a couple of days, but I'll see you back here on Monday. We'll be dicing up the schedule
everybody.
Even then. They'll see you tomorrow at 1:00.